Here are all the John Lothian News daily updates from the week of October 5th, 2020.
This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 5th, 2020. Here are the hits and takes comments from today. Last night, VolQ officially launched for trading on the CME. You can track it on the CME website. As of last night, there were no trades to track, however. VolQ is acclaimed by NASDAQ and CME Group as a better measure of the index option market, specifically anticipated future up or down moves for the NASDAQ 100 or NDX. The volatility alternative to the VIX is more complementary than Challenger, giving traders a second volatility product to trade and one that helps with the popular NASDAQ 100 index. VolQ uses at-the-money options to calculate implied volatility, whereas VIX uses lots of out-of-the-money options. The VolQ landing page at NASDAQ is www.nasdaq.com/VOLQ. Signature Bank announced the pricing of subordinated notes, which would not normally be big news, but this time it is. The notes were the first Ameribor-linked debt offering. There are trillions of dollars linked to LIBOR, but with this offering, we have Ameribor-linked debt for the first time. Congratulations to the American Financial Exchange and Dr. Richard Sandor for this achievement. It took Doc Sandor eating a lot of barbecue all across the U.S. to get to this point and this offering. Deutsche Börse Group premiered their new image film on Friday. Between the new branding of Eurex and now this, they've been doing a nice job of marketing across the board. Check out their Twitter homepage for a version of the video. Matt Lyle, on behalf of the Global Digital Asset and Cryptocurrency Association, the Global DCA, respectfully disagreed with my opinion concerning the impetus behind the creation of cryptocurrency. He said, "We would like to make the following points to counter your opinion. Primary purpose of cryptocurrency is not to facilitate money laundering, but, among other things, prevent governments from hyperinflating currencies and provide a payment mechanism that solves the double spend issue through a distributed ledger. Digital assets and cryptocurrencies provide payment mechanisms that do not need intermediaries like banks, which reduces the overall cost or tax of using the system. 2 billion of the 7 billion global inhabitants are unbanked or underbanked, and this results in higher costs when making payments and a tremendous lack of credit. It is hard for the first world to comprehend this fundamental disadvantage. However, think about what it takes for a domestic worker to send remittance payments back home without having a bank account. The person gets charged for cashing their paycheck and then gets charged for sending a portion of that paycheck back to Guatemala or Timbuktu. These charges can run as high as 10% of the total amount. However, if you and the recipient have a cell phone, internet, and electronic wallet, you can convert the cash paycheck into cryptocurrency and send payment instantaneously almost anywhere. In fact, it's already feasible to pay your workers without involving a bank. Fiat currencies are controlled by governments, and some governments use controls to benefit the political elite and their cronies while harming their citizens. Cryptocurrencies provide an alternative system free from political controls. Every transaction that occurs on the major blockchains can be seen on a publicly accessible database. In fact, it is this transparency that is one of the fundamental benefits of blockchain-based finance. Yes, the money launderers can disguise their wallet addresses. However, if a company complies with BSA or FATF requirements, the risk of money laundering is highly mitigated and, in fact, the same as the risks inherent with established payment systems. The biggest issue with respect to digital assets and cryptocurrencies is the ambiguity inherent in the regulatory environment, and there are serious questions whether certain participants have legal requirements or accountability to their counterparties. A lack of enforceable standards is quite an impediment to developing a stable, efficient system. I would bring your attention to the nascent initiative aimed at addressing these issues. The Global DCA has been founded to guide the evolution of the new technology within a regulatory framework designed to build public trust, foster market integrity, and maximize economic opportunity for all participants by devising standards and consensus-based solutions that address the major challenges facing the industry. Unquote. Also, the Global DCA is formally launching itself next Friday, October 9th, from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at a virtually hosted event featuring several leaders in a burgeoning digital asset and cryptocurrency marketplace. I shared a more complete version of my theory with Matt Lyle and the Global DCA leaders and have yet to hear a formal reply. When I was a kid, I used to regularly read Reader's Digest. One of my favorite pages was Laughter is the Best Medicine. Today, in that spirit, the New York Times has an article titled Laughter May Be Effective Medicine for These Trying Times. I concur. The great Bob Gibson, one of the fiercest baseball pitchers ever, has died at the age of 84. Gibson played for the St. Louis Cardinals and was a Hall of Fame member who won 2 Cy Young Awards and threw 56 career shutouts. Sarah Rudolph of JLN had this to share this morning. Reminder, registration for FIA Expo V, for virtual, is open. Expo takes place this year from November 10th to 12th and includes keynote addresses, one-on-one interviews with exchange leaders, the Innovators Pavilion FinTech Showcase, and a virtual trade show. You can go to the John Lothian newsletter at johnlothiannews.com for more info and to register. Matt Rabel of JLN shared this. In our cryptocurrency section today, we have multiple reports from The Block about digital asset trading volume. According to the reports, decentralized or DEX exchanges made up about 13.9% of all trading volume in the cryptocurrency markets in September. One article says that cryptocurrency exchanges collectively facilitated $169 billion worth of trades, while $23.5 billion worth of digital assets were traded on DEX exchanges. Of course, it's always a good idea to consider these reports with a big ol' grain of salt. Look for this week's The Spread video at johnlothiannews.com. Here are some more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From the World Federation of Exchanges. Exchanges around the world ring the bell all week for financial literacy in 2020. The World Federation of Exchanges initiative draws record support. Exchanges around the world have united to promote financial literacy and boost financial inclusion, ringing the bell in multiple countries on multiple days all week during World Investor Week 2020. The World Federation of Exchanges, the Global Industry Group for Exchanges and CCPs, is supporting the International Organization of Securities Commissions, IOSCO, WIW 2020, which runs from the 5th of October to the 11th of October 2020. WIW is a week-long global campaign to raise awareness about the importance of investor education and protection and promote financial literacy. The New York Times has a story about our favorite Georgia senator up for re-election. How Kelly Loeffler went from Atlanta elite to Trump loyalist. Senator Loeffler, one of the richest people in Congress, has transformed herself from political moderate to, quote, more conservative than Attila the Hun, unquote. Kelly Loeffler is not just a United States senator and a successful businesswoman. She is also one of the social doyens of Buckhead, the Atlanta neighborhood of the wealthy and aspiring rich, where she has often thrown open the gates of her $10.5 million European-style manse known as Descant for charity fundraisers. The FT has a story titled JP Morgan Opens UK Apprenticeship Scheme to Aspiring Investment Bankers. On-the-job training program includes funding to complete a degree in applied finance. JP Morgan is hiring the UK's first investment banking apprentices, applying the on-the-job training methodology previously reserved for hairdressing and car mechanics to roles in the capital markets and deal-making teams. NPR reports Pope Francis laments failures of market capitalism in blueprint for post-COVID world. Pope Francis has presented his blueprint for a post-COVID-19 world, covering a vast number of issues from fraternity and income inequality to immigration and social injustice. The document, released Sunday, is his third encyclical, the most authoritative form of papal teaching. Its title is Fratelli Tutti, and it's a scathing description of laissez-faire capitalism and a mediation on the coronavirus pandemic that has swept across the world. The Chicago Tribune reports billionaire Ken Griffin drops extra $26.7 million against Pritzker's graduated rate income tax amendment proposal. His total stands at more than $46.7 million. Ken Griffin, the billionaire founder and CEO of the Chicago-based Citadel hedge fund and investment firm, put another $26.7 million into the campaign against billionaire Democratic Governor J.P. Pritzker's ballot proposal to shift the state from a flat-rate income tax to a graduated tax with rates that increase with income. Griffin's latest investment, he now has given $46.75 million to the approximately $48.1 million that has been received by the coalition to stop the proposed tax hike amendment in August. Griffin gave more than $20 million. The IFM has an advertisement in today's JLN promoting DC FinTech Week 2020. See today's JLN for the ad and the link to register. Here are the top three most read stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was Bloomberg's The Stock Trading Revolution, How Robinhood and Its Rivals Are Changing the Markets. Second was the Financial Times, U.S. Regulators Step Up Battle with Spoofing, about the heavy fine on J.P. Morgan Chase. Third was another Financial Times story, U.S. charges Bitcoin exchange founders over money laundering. This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 6, 2020. Here are the comments from the hits and takes section from today. The FIA has written an open letter to the industry urging market participants to prioritize data standardization. Their TAG 1031 effort aims to resolve brokerage rate issues. Today, JLN has a podcast interview with David Gurl, the founder of Symphony, that was conducted yesterday. Symphony is an important product for the industry, especially during these pandemic times. Vermiculus, the new endeavor of Nils Robert Persson, recently celebrated its growth with a picture on LinkedIn showing 13 employees now at the startup. There are still no trades in the CME Group's new VolQ index product. A new CNN poll says former Vice President Joe Biden is ahead of President Trump by 9 points in Michigan and 16 points nationally. The poll is an outlier in that it shows the largest lead Biden has had. New York Magazine has an article titled GOP Elites Thought They Could Buy Their Way Out of a Pandemic that features a picture of what appears to be Senator Kelly Loeffler speaking to President Donald Trump and First Lady Melania Trump in the diplomatic room of the White House during the recent gathering for the Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. Loeffler has her back turned to the camera. I hope Senator Loeffler is well and stays safe. Bloomberg is reporting that the worst-case scenario for the Napa wine country impacted by wildfires will see some 80% of Cabernet lost to the fire and smoke. Fortune has a story that companies with happy employees outperform their peers. If there was ever a reason to create a good and happy work environment, this is it. We are looking for sponsors for the John Lothian Newsletter Daily Update, a podcast turning the daily JLN hits and takes comments, our original content, and the stories and quips in the top box of the first read into a daily podcast. In case you're wondering, this is that podcast. You can sponsor either the daily episodes or the weekly recap that bundles all episodes from the week into one longer podcast. The podcast is getting an average of 690 plays per weekday, and the weekly update has averaged 1,695 listens each. Our audience is a perfect match for companies in the market space. Our readership comes from all over the world. For more information, reach out to me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com. Here's another comment from the Hits and Takes section, this one from Suzanne Cosgrove. "I am cautiously optimistic about the status of our bank," said Brian Brooks, acting head of the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, in a widely divergent online discussion Monday about the economy and the role of regional, mid-size, and community banks sponsored by the American Financial Exchange and the University of Chicago Law School. Brooks said deposit data shows banks, quote, have a little bit of runway left, unquote, in the current recession. That's thanks in part to the $2 trillion economic relief package known as the CARES Act and the fact that most of the banks entered into the recession well capitalized, he said. However, Brooks said he expects the reprieve to be short-lived, a couple of months or until another rescue. He added that it's important for a variety of reasons to implement the OCC's Project REACH, Roundtable of Economic Access and Change, which promotes financial inclusion for underserved Americans through better access to credit and capital. He noted that an estimated 45 million Americans don't have credit scores and therefore can't get traditional loans. Brooks also said he did not expect the looming conversion of LIBOR to other benchmarks rates like SOFR and the Ameribor would be smooth. Contracts for loans with adjustable rates never thought LIBOR would go away. There will be litigation and we'll need a backstop, he said. Here's more about my podcast interview with David Girl. John Lothian, that's me, interviewed David Girl, the founder of Symphony, about how the company, its customers, and its prospective customers are responding to the provider of secure collaboration for global markets in light of the pandemic. In this podcast conducted October 5th, 2020, yesterday, Girl spoke of the demand for apps on the Symphony platform and the types that are being used. He talked about how his employees are using the Symphony platform like never before and what they miss about doing so. And lastly, he talked about the growth at Symphony and their plans for future acquisitions to help augment it. Go to johnlothiannews.com to listen to the podcast. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's more on the FIA open letter. FIA urges market participants to prioritize data standardization. Tag 1031 effort to resolve brokerage rate issues is an important example of industry-led solutions. Dear industry leaders, FIA's core mission is to support open, transparent, and competitive derivative markets and to protect the integrity of the financial system. This is most obvious in our work with various regulators around the world. However, FIA's mission increasingly means we are supporting industry-led solutions for our members, too. Deutsche Börse Photography Foundation shows Open for Business, Magnum Photographers on Commission, press tour with Anne Marie Beckman on October 22, 2020 at 11 a.m. Open without prior registration on two open Saturdays on November 7th and December 5th, 2020. The Deutsche Börse Photography Foundation is presenting the exhibition Open for Business, Magnum Photographers on Commission in the Cube, Eschborn, Frankfurt, from October 23rd, 2020 to January 22nd, 2021. It shows the commission work from six decades by more than 50 photographers from the legendary photo agency Magnum Photos, and thus gives an insight into a fascinating and lesser-known part of their portfolio. A story from the FT is titled, How Podcasting Became a New Front in the Streaming Wars. The likes of Spotify see a chance to differentiate in a world where all music services offer access to roughly the same product. Former child actor Renee Richardson was ready to quit show business and start a vegan cafe. Then she fell into podcasting, taking a chance on a job at an unknown startup, Acast, in 2014. She was its first employee in London. Here's Matt Rabel's comment on the story. I've always thought there's something almost democratic about podcasts. It used to take a full room of expensive equipment, a license from the FCC, and a roof-mounted metal tower to allow someone to have their own radio show. Now, anyone with a microphone and a laptop can create one, and since podcasts aren't broadcast on public bands, they can create an original show about anything. A lot of people with valuable things to say have access to a platform because of this. Though the opposite is also true, unfortunately. Here are the top three most read stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was the New York Times, how Kelly Loeffler went from Atlanta elite to Trump loyalist. Stories about Senator Loeffler often are very popular. Second was Bloomberg's The Race to Replace the City of London Begins. That was our lead story from yesterday's newsletter. Third was the CME Group's NASDAQ 100 Volatility Index futures quotes. So far, no trading on the VolQ, but we're keeping our fingers crossed. This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 7th, 2020. The daily update is sponsored by Eurex. Here are the comments from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. The U.S. Holocaust Museum has a video project called Artifacts. One episode of its series features the crayon box of one Leo Melamed. The short video tells the story of Leo's life, but also about this artifact of his childhood, given to him when he was a refugee in Japan. It is a moving story, no matter how many times in different ways I see it told. In the video, there is a slide where Leo calls his father the smartest man I have ever met because he knew we had to run. The museum is currently closed because of the pandemic, but their work to teach the lessons of the Holocaust doesn't stop. Donations for the museum are welcome. For the links to the video and to donate, see today's newsletter on johnlothiannews.com. Barron's has a story that Trading Technologies is for sale and the process is pretty far along. I don't buy the reasoning from the headline that this is related to any trading glitches. The story does say there are four sources that have confirmed it, and they named the advisor, Broadhaven, which is pretty convincing it is for real. I know one person in particular whom this deal will make happy. Hi, Alex. It is more likely that the impetus of any deal is that the majority owner of TT, Harris Brumfield, believes the time is right to get the right kind of strategic deal done to help further the growth of the company. Harris has a shrewd mind for the big picture and the micro picture as well. More will come on this story. Stay tuned. FIA has a commentary by Walt Lucan titled Viewpoint. Markets are key to solving a climate problem. In more bad news for the people who like to eat out in Chicago, Crane Chicago Business is reporting that Ruth's Chris Steakhouse is to permanently close its Chicago location. That only leaves 247 other steak joints in Chicago to eat out at, or thereabouts. Eurex has verbally agreed to sponsor our daily update podcast and the weekly recap too as part of their sponsorship deal with us. It is not an exclusive deal, so if others are interested, the door is still open. The CFTC said Tuesday the agency's Division of Enforcement filed 113 enforcement actions in the fiscal year 2020, which ended September 30th, more than in any year in the CFTC's history. As JLN reported last month, the agency scored another record in 2020 when JPMorgan Chase & Company agreed to pay the U.S. government $920 million in fines and disgorgement to settle spoofing charges. The year's enforcement actions were done under the watch of Director of Enforcement James McDonald, who is leaving the CFTC on Thursday. He will be replaced by Vincent McGonigal, Principal Deputy Director of the division, who will serve as Acting Director, the CFTC said. More details on fiscal year 2020 enforcement actions are expected to be included in the division's annual enforcement report issued later this year. That was reported by Suzanne Cosgrove. Here are the rest of the stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's the Barron story on TT. Trading Technology seeks a buyer. Trading Technologies International, a provider of cloud-based trading software, is up for sale, according to four banking and private equity executives familiar with the matter. Broadhaven Capital Partners is advising on the auction, the people said. Trading Technologies is expected to sell for roughly $500 million, one of the people said. The process is believed to be in the late stages with a deal near. The CFTC put out this press release about Jamie McDonald leaving. Enforcement Director James McDonald to depart CFTC. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission today announced that the Division of Enforcement Director James McDonald will depart the agency on October 8, 2020. Mr. McDonald has served as Director of Enforcement since April of 2017. The NFA has a coronavirus update. Expiration of temporary relief from fingerprinting requirements. In April 2020, the CFTC's Division of Swap Dealer and Intermediary Oversight, DSIO, issued a no-action letter granting temporary relief to registrants and applicants for registration listing a principal and for applicants for associated person registration from the fingerprinting requirements in CFTC Regulations 3.10A2 for natural person principals and 3.12C3 for APs. NFA issued similar relief from the fingerprinting requirements in NFA Registration Rules 204A2A and 206A1A. In July 2020, DSIO and NFA extended this relief until September 30, 2020. The Dallas Business Journal reports, is NASDAQ moving some of its operation to DFW? That's Dallas-Fort Worth for short. Governor says talks held for state. NASDAQ is in discussions with Governor Greg Abbott about relocating the exchange's electronic trading systems from New Jersey to Dallas-Fort Worth, the Dallas Morning News reported. Here are the top three read most stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was the Financial Times investors find new hedges against U.S. election sell-off. Second was FIA's page about FIA execution source code, aka Tag 1031, an FIA-led industry initiative in conjunction with FIA Tech. Third was New York Magazine's GOP elites thought they could buy their way out of a pandemic, which contains a picture of a White House gathering, including what looks very much like Senator Kelly Loeffler.
This is the John Lothian News Daily Update. Filling in for John, this is Patrick Lothian. And now a note from John Lothian. Today we announced the launch of a GoFundMe campaign to support our history-focused MarketsWiki education video series, The Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading, and the overall operations of John Lothian News. These are trying times that call for extraordinary measures. It is a time to try something new, especially when the old system isn't working. We are asking for help. We all know the headwinds created by the pandemic and those that it accentuated. The lack of industry conferences hurt us. This is where we see our readers, sponsors, and friends, and build relationships which culminate in revenue to support our operations. Industry consolidation, some spurred by the ill effects of the pandemic, continue to eliminate sponsor relationships. Something as simple as series being closed in the CBOT building hurts us. I could not help but run into people I knew there, and those incidental meetings at series in the lobby or even in the elevator were all valuable for developing business. So we are trying a GoFundMe approach. We hope that some of you who we have touched through the years will contribute. Maybe we interviewed you and it led to an opportunity. Maybe you read something and it saved you money, or watched a video and it brought a smile to your face. Whatever the reason that caused goodwill to develop, we hope that you will consider making a contribution to our GoFundMe campaign. We love what we do. We have a great team and wanted to continue to do what we do together. We want to continue to deliver value to you, capture history, inform, educate, and entertain you with our products. I was told I mispronounced Symphony founder David Gurley's name in a recent daily update. His name is pronounced Gurley and not Girl. I also continue to have a problem pronouncing Senator Kelly Loeffler's name on the daily update from time to time. I have never heard her name pronounced until she was a U.S. Senator. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way you want to be treated. With respect, equality, and justice, from John Lothian. And now a note from Sarah Rudolph. STA Virtual 2020 Market Structure Conference. Some election predictions in a completely unpredictable year. At the Security Traders Association 2020 Virtual Market Structure Conference Wednesday, Joel Oswald and Chris Wilcox of the DC law firm Williams & Jensen offered their speculations and predictions for the presidential election and the markets in a panel entitled Election 2020, A Crucial Moment. Crucial indeed. Investors are bracing for what may happen to the markets depending on who becomes president and what happens in the House and Senate. According to Oswald, a recent NBC and Wall Street Journal poll had Joe Biden leading by 14 points. A few recent polls show a much closer race. After last Tuesday's presidential debate, average polling data appears to be showing a 1.5% gain for Biden. However, polling doesn't necessarily matter, as we learned in 2016, Oswald said. What matters is getting to that magic 270 number, the number of electoral votes necessary to win. Tonight's vice presidential debate may be more crucial in determining that. Polls can predict the popular vote outcome, but not the Electoral College, Wilcox said. You have to look at the polling in battleground states. Those will really matter. Wilcox added that the polls are only of likely voters, and it is still very difficult for pollsters to predict who will actually vote. Now a note from Suzanne Cosgrove. STA 2020 Post-COVID Options Volumes Recover, Volatility Lingers. When CBOE Global Markets flipped the switch on its trading floor in mid-March and temporarily moved to all electronic trading in response to the COVID-19 crisis, it was heralded as a period of change for the options industry. It was a big, big move to take robust open outcry trading to all electronic over a weekend, said Ed Tilley, CBOE Global Markets CEO, chairman, and president, in an interview at STA's 2020 Market Structure Virtual Conference on Wednesday. One change that appears to be well received by customers during CBOE's temporary closure of the trading floor was the implementation of a modified version of AIM, the Automated Improvement Mechanism, for CBOE S&P 500 options. AIM offers potential price improvements through an auction process, something that became more important when CBOE went to an all-electronic format. An article from Miles Johnson and Robert Smith of Financial Times. Vatican uses charity funds to bet on Hertz credit derivatives. The Vatican invested some donations for the poor and needy in derivatives that bet on the creditworthiness of Hertz, a U.S. car rental company that defaulted on its debts earlier this year, according to documents seen by the Financial Times. In 2018, Pope Francis said credit default swaps encourage the growth of a finance of change and of gambling on the failure of others, which is unacceptable from the ethical point of view. The instruments, he said, were a ticking time bomb. A comment by John, finally a trade that has a prayer. An article from Paul B. Brown from the New York Times. When you have enough, it's time to help others. After decades of striving for money, our columnist says he is focusing on other things. My small house on Cape Cod needs some sprucing up. But from the kitchen table, I see a home that is in much better shape. Its owners hope to sell it for $8 million. This palace, which really isn't overstating things, it looks like a small hotel, is 10,000 square feet, or about 5 times the size of my home, has 7 bedrooms, 9 baths, and was, according to a real estate listing, built to capture 180-degree breathtaking ocean and harbor views and receive the natural light at the most appropriate time of day. It is stunning. A comment by John, you don't have to wait until you have enough to help others. You can start by helping others, and you will quickly find that you are rich beyond your dreams. And now Wednesday's top three. Top story Wednesday was, of course, Trading Technology Seeks a Buyer from Barron's. Second was the disturbing QAnon high priest was just trolling away as a Citigroup tech executive from Bloomberg. Third was how Animal Crossing is preparing players to trade stocks, also from Bloomberg.
This is John Lothian with the commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for October 9th, 2020. This daily update is brought to you by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. Our first story of the day is from Suzanne Cosgrove of JLN. It's about the Security Traders Association 2020 Regulatory Conference. It was virtual this year, and the title of the story is New Exchanges Taking Seats at the SIPs Table. Given that there are currently more than a dozen U.S. equity exchanges, why launch new ones? One reason is to lower costs, but another is to have a voice in governance and market structure, according to Jonathan Kellner, CEO of Memex, and Tom Gallagher, chairman and CEO of the MIAX Exchange Group, both of whom launched new equity exchanges in September. Memex was built as a startup with help of member investors with more than $135 million from firms including Charles Schwab Corp, Citadel Securities, Goldman Sachs Inc., and Virtu Financial. MIAX added an equity exchange to its 3 option exchanges. Kellner noted Memex is focused on the trading side of the business and not on listings. Memex will initially give away data and connectivity, quote, but the plan is not to lose money, unquote, Kellner said. When we reach a higher volume of trading, we will begin to change, he said. The questions will be, what are the right margins and costs? To read the rest of the story, go to johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The late Tom Gira was named the Security Traders Association's Dictum Meum Pactum Award recipient. The Dictum Meum Pactum Award recognizes individuals who have demonstrated an unwavering commitment to the betterment of the financial services industry and have exhibited acts of integrity at the highest levels consistent with the ideal STA has supported since its inception. Dictum meum pactum, my word is my bond. After early career stops at NASDAQ and the SEC's Division of Market Regulation, Gira joined FINRA in 1992 and eventually rose to the title of Executive Vice President of Market Regulation and Transparency Services. Under his leadership, FINRA's Market Regulation Department expanded to conduct cross-market surveillance of all U.S. equities markets and nearly half of the U.S. option markets. Gira passed away in June of 2020. JLN's GoFundMe campaign to raise funds to support MarketsWiki education's programs and general operating expenses is off to a good start, with a total raised of $2,150. The first donation was for $250 from an anonymous donor, and the second was a donation of $100 from FIA CEO and President Walt Lucan. Other donors were Neil Lustig, Nicholas Solinger, Chuck Mackey, Leslie Sutphin, Dawn Combs, Kevin Brennan, and a couple of other anonymous donations. Neil Lustig is with the CME in operations at the Globex Control Center and was my boss when I was a runner back in 1981 for Shearson. He donated $100, which, if he had given $5 more, would have matched my weekly salary back then. Thank you to all who have donated and all who will donate yet. Join these industry leaders to support our work on MarketsWiki education and everything else we do by donating at the johnlothiannews.com website. YCharts has been acquired by middle market private equity firm LLR Partners. My wife and daughter, Catherine, and I are off camping in Missouri this weekend to see our sons and Catherine's brothers, Robbie and Tim. This is how we are coping with the pandemic and getting our family together. The dogs are headed for their first camp out. Matt Rabel has a comment today. In yesterday's cryptocurrency section, we posted an article published by the Financial Times entitled "The Strange IPO of Jonathan Roland Bitcoin Bank." It described FT's interactions with the founder and executive chairman of the Bitcoin firm Mode, Jonathan Roland. Roland apparently didn't like an article they published about Mode in September very much, so much so that he singled it out on Twitter and accused FT of publishing an article that was, quote, like an unhappy girlfriend writing a text message late at night, unquote. Unfortunately, I've encountered a lot of this kind of toxicity in the cryptocurrency space. This issue has been going on for a while and has been covered by other news outlets as well. Matt Rabel had a story today titled "Mini VIX Futures Trading Views with Cboe's Ariane Krikey." Here are more stories from other news organizations. The Wall Street Journal has a story titled "How Citadel CEO Ken Griffin Built a $1 Billion Private Property Portfolio." The billionaire hedge funder has paid more than $1 billion on a cache of ultra-luxury homes from London to New York. What's behind the unprecedented spending? The story is by Catherine Clark of the Wall Street Journal. In the early 1900s, the country's wealthiest businessmen, including William Randolph Hearst and John D. Rockefeller, built sprawling gilded estates. Living at that kind of boundless scale fell out of favor with subsequent generations, however, and these kinds of estates were either subdivided or turned over to the state or preservationists. Mr. Griffin likes to buy real estate, but he often breaks the first rule: don't own the most expensive house on the block. But then if you're a billionaire, maybe that rule does not apply. Bloomberg is reporting crypto poses a growing threat to national security, U.S. says. Justice Department sees oncoming storm of criminal activity. Investigators slowed by patchwork of regulation, report finds. The emergence of cryptocurrency presents opportunities for terrorists, rogue nations, and other criminals who present a threat to U.S. national security, the Department of Justice said Thursday in a report. Law enforcement is hampered by the worldwide reach of digital coins and lack of consistent regulation across regions, which is, quote, detrimental to the safety and stability of the international financial system, unquote, the report found. Newer entities using crypto, such as peer-to-peer exchanges, kiosk operators, and online casinos, don't comply with record-keeping and reporting requirements, undermining investigators. The Crypto Markets Wiki coin of the week is XRP. Federal regulation of XRP, the digital asset of Ripple, may cause the company to relocate overseas, according to the company's executive chairman, Chris Larson, during an interview with Fortune. According to Larson, Ripple has become increasingly frustrated with what it perceives to be a hostile attitude towards digital assets by the federal government, especially the SEC. Ripple has had its share of legal battles, including accusations of legal fraud in the sale of XRP this week. Ripple's lawyers were particularly successful in having a class action lawsuit thrown out, though the judge presiding over the case refused to dismiss all of the case's claims. Here are the top three most read stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was "Help John Lothian News Capture Industry History with GoFundMe Campaign" from myself. about our campaign for your support to help keep JLN's Markets Wiki Education video series and our daily operations afloat. Second was The New York Times, a columnist makes sense of Wall Street like none other, about Bloomberg columnist Matt Levine and his Money Stuff newsletter. Third was When You Have Enough, It's Time to Help Others, also from The New York Times. Here are your Markets Wiki stats of the day. The site has 189,699,042 pages viewed with 24,450 pages and 226,235 edits. This daily update has been brought to you by our friends at Eurex. Visit them at www.eurex.com. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannewsletter.com/trial. We are looking for more sponsors for the John Lothian Newsletter Daily Update, a podcast turning the daily JLN hits and takes comments, our original content, and the stories and quips in our top box of the first read into a daily podcast. You can sponsor either the daily episodes or the weekly recap that includes all of the episodes from the week into one longer podcast. The podcast is getting an average of 690 plays per weekday, and the weekly update has averaged 1,695 listenings each. Our audience is a perfect match for companies in the market space. For more information, reach out to me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com. Have a great day and a great weekend, and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.